through the wood beams and into her room on the floor above, where her trunks of gold now sat. She didn't need the money, but if she were going to pay off her debt to Aerobin, her funds would be severely depleted. And to take this mission wouldn't just be about killing. It would be about helping others, too. How many lives would be destroyed if she didn't dispatch Donoval and his partner and retrieve those sensitive documents? Aerobin approached her again, and she rose from her chair. He brushed her hair back from her face.
"I missed you," he said.
He opened his arms to her, but didn't make a further move to embrace her. She studied his face. The Mute Master had told her that people dealt with their pain in different ways, that some chose to drown it, some chose to love it, and some chose to let it turn into rage. While she had no regrets about freeing those 200 slaves from Skull's Bay, she had betrayed Aerobin in doing it. Perhaps hurting her had been his way of coping with the pain of that. And even though there was no excuse in this world for what he had done, Aerobin was all she had. The history that lay between them, dark and twisted and full of secrets, was forged by more than just gold. And if she left him, if she paid off her debts right now and never saw him again. She took a step back, and Aerobin casually lowered his arms, not at all fazed by her rejection. "I'll think about taking on Donoval." It wasn't a lie. She always took time to consider her missions. Aerobin had encouraged that from the start.
"I'm sorry,"
he said again. Selena gave him another long look before she left. Her exhaustion hit her the moment she began climbing the polished marble steps of the sweeping grand staircase. A month of hard travel after a month of grueling training and heartache. Every time she saw the scar on her neck, or touched it, or felt her clothes brush against it, a tremor of pain went through her as she remembered the betrayal that had caused it. She'd believed Ansel was her friend, a life friend, a friend of the heart. But Ansel's need for revenge had been greater than anything else. Still, wherever Ansel now was, Selena hoped that she was finally facing what had haunted her for so long. A passing servant bowed his head, eyes averted. Everyone who worked here knew more or less who she was and would keep her identity secret on pain of death. Not that there was much of a point to it now, given that every single one of the silent assassins could identify her. Selena took a ragged breath, running a hand through her hair. Before entering the city this morning, she'd stopped at a tavern just outside Rifthold, to bathe, to wash her filthy clothes, to put on some cosmetics. She hadn't wanted to stride into the keep looking like a gutter rat, but she still felt dirty. She passed one of the upstairs drawing rooms, her brows rising at the sound of a pianoforte and laughing people inside. If Aerobin had company, then why had he been in his study, ever so busy when she arrived? Selena ground her teeth. So that nonsense where he'd made her wait while he finished his work. She clenched her hands into fists and was about to whirl and stomp back down the stairs to tell Aerobin that she was leaving and that he no longer owned her, when someone stepped into the elegantly appointed hall. Sam Cortland. Sam's brown eyes were wide, his body rigid, as if it took some effort on his part. He shut the door to the hall washroom and strode toward her, past the teal velvet curtains hanging on the floor-to-ceiling windows, past the framed artwork, closer and closer. She remained still, taking in every inch of him before he stopped a few feet away. No missing limbs, no limp, no indication of anything haunting him. His chestnut hair had gotten a little longer, but it suited him. And he was tan, gloriously tan, as if he'd spent the whole summer basking in the sun. Hadn't Aerobin punished him at all?
"You're back,"
Sam said, as if he couldn't quite believe it. She lifted her chin, stuffing her hands in her pockets. "Obviously." He tilted his head slightly to the side.
"How was the desert?"
There wasn't a scratch on him. Of course, her face had healed, too, but... Hot, she said. Sam let out a breathy chuckle. It wasn't that she was mad at him for being uninjured. She was so relieved she could have vomited, actually. She just never imagined that seeing him today would feel so... strange. And after what had happened with Ansel, could she honestly say that she trusted him? In the drawing room a few doors down, a woman let out a shrill giggle. How was it possible that she could have so many questions and yet so little to say? Sam's eyes slipped from her face to her neck, his brows drawing together for a heartbeat, as he saw the thin new scar.
What happened?
Someone held a sword to my throat. His eyes darkened, but she didn't want to explain the long, miserable story. She didn't want to talk about Ansel, and she certainly didn't want to talk about what had happened with Aerobin that night they'd returned from Skull's Bay.
Are you hurt?
Sam asked quietly, taking another step closer. It took her a moment to realize that his imagination had probably taken him to a far, far worse place when she said someone had held a blade to her throat. No, she said. No, not like that.
Then, like what?
He was now looking more closely at her, at the almost invisible white line along her cheek, another gift from Ansel. At her hands, at everything. His lean, muscled body tensed. His chest had gotten broader, too. Like none of your business, that's what, she retorted.
Tell me what happened,
he gritted out. She gave him one of those simpering little smiles that she knew he hated. Things hadn't been bad between them since Skull's Bay. But after so many years of treating him awfully, she didn't know how to slide back into that newfound respect and camaraderie they'd discovered for each other. Why should I tell you anything?
Because,
he hissed, taking another step.
The last time I saw you, Selena, you were unconscious on Aerobin's carpet and so bloodied up that I couldn't see your damn face.
He was close enough that she could touch him now. Rain continued beating against the hall windows, a distant reminder that there was still a world around them.
Tell me,
he said.
I'll kill you!
Sam had screamed it at Aerobin as the King of the Assassins beat her.
He'd roared it.
In those horrible minutes, whatever bond had sprung up between her and Sam hadn't broken. He'd switched loyalties. He'd chosen to stand by her, fight for her. If anything, that made him different from Ansel. Sam could have hurt or betrayed her a dozen times over, but he'd never jumped at the opportunity. A half-smile tugged at a corner of her lips. She'd missed him. Seeing the expression on her face, he gave her a bewildered sort of grin. She swallowed, feeling the words bubbling up through her. I missed you. But the door to the drawing room opened.
Sam!
A dark-haired, green-eyed young woman chided, laughter on her lips.
There you—
The girl's eyes met Selena's. Selena stopped smiling as she recognized her. A feline sort of smirk spread across the young woman's stunning features, and she slipped out of the doorway and slunk over to them. Selena took in each swish of her hips, the elegant angle of her hand, the exquisite dress that dipped low enough to reveal her generous bosom.
Selena,
she cooed, and Sam eyed the two girls warily as she stopped beside him. Too close beside him for a casual acquaintance. Lysandra, Selena echoed. She'd met Lysandra when they were both 10, and in the 7 years that they'd known each other, Selena couldn't recall a time when she didn't want to beat in the girl's face with a brick, or throw her out a window, or do any number of things she'd learned from Aerobin. It didn't help that Aerobin had spent a good deal of money assisting Lysandra in her rise from street orphan to one of the most anticipated courtesans in Rifthold's history. He was good friends with Lysandra's madam, and had been Lysandra's doting benefactor for years. Lysandra and her madam remained the only courtesans aware that the girl Aerobin called his niece was actually his protege. Selena had never learned why Aerobin had told them, but whenever she complained about the risk of Lysandra revealing her identity, he seemed certain she would not. Selena, not surprisingly, had trouble believing it. But perhaps threats from the King of the Assassins were enough to keep even the loud-mouthed Lysandra silent.
I thought you'd been packed off to the desert,
Lysandra said, running a shrewd eye over Selena's clothes. Thank the word she'd bothered to change at that tavern.
Is it possible the summer passed that quickly? I guess when you're having so much fun.
A deadly, vicious sort of calm filled Selena's veins. She'd snapped once at Lysandra, when they were 13, and Lysandra had snatched a lovely lace fan right out of Selena's hands. The ensuing fight had sent them tumbling down a flight of stairs. Selena had spent a night in the keep's dungeon for the welts she'd left on Lysandra's face, by beating her with the fan itself. She tried to ignore how close the girl stood to Sam. He'd always been kind to the courtesans, and they all adored him. His mother had been one of them, and had asked Aerobin, a patron of hers, to look after her son. Sam had only been 6 when she was murdered by a jealous client. Selena crossed her arms. Should I bother to ask what you're doing here? Lysandra gave her a knowing smile.
Oh, Aerobin.
She purred his name like they were the most intimate of friends.
Threw me a luncheon in honor of my upcoming bidding.
Of course he did. He invited your future clients here?
Oh, no,
Lysandra giggled.
This is just for me and the girls. And Clarice, of course.
She used her madam's name, too, like a weapon. A word meant to crush and dominate. A word that whispered, I am more important than you. I have more influence than you. I am everything and you are nothing. Lovely, Selena replied. Sam still hadn't said anything. Lysandra lifted her chin, looking down her delicately freckled nose at Selena.
My bidding is in 6 days. They expect me to break all the records.
Selena had seen a few young courtesans go through the bidding process. Girls trained until they were 17, when their virginity was sold to the highest bidder.
Sam,
Lysandra went on, putting a slender hand on his arm,
has been so helpful with making sure all the preparations are ready for my bidding party.
Selena was surprised at the swiftness of her desire to rip that hand right off Lysandra's wrist. Just because he sympathized with the courtesans didn't mean he had to be so friendly with them. Sam cleared his throat, straightening.
Not that helpful. Aerobin wanted to make sure that the vendors and location were secure.
Important clientele must be given the best treatment,
Lysandra trilled.
I do wish I could tell you who will be in attendance, but Clarice would kill me. It's extraordinarily hush-hush and need to know.
It was enough. One more word out of the courtesan's mouth, and Selena was fairly certain she'd punch Lysandra's teeth down her throat. Selena angled her head, her fingers curling into a fist. Sam saw the familiar gesture and pried Lysandra's hand off his arm.
Go back to the luncheon, he told her.
Lysandra gave Selena another one of those smiles, which she then turned on Sam.
When are you coming back in?
Her full red lips formed a pout.
Enough, enough, enough.
Selena turned on her heel. Enjoy your quality company, she said over her shoulder.
Selena!
Sam said. But she wouldn't turn around, not even when she heard Lysandra giggle and whisper something, not even when all she wanted in the entire world was to grab her dagger and throw, as hard as she could, right toward Lysandra's impossibly beautiful face. She'd always hated Lysandra, she told herself. Always hated her. Her touching Sam like that, speaking to Sam like that, it didn't change things, but... Though Lysandra's virginity was unquestionable, it had to be. There were plenty of other things that she could still do. Things that she might have done with Sam. Feeling sick and furious and small, Selena reached her bedroom and slammed the door hard enough to rattle the rain-splattered windows.
Chapter 2
The rain didn't stop the next day, and Selena awoke to a grumble of thunder and a servant setting a long, beautifully wrapped box on her dresser. She opened the gift as she drank her morning cup of tea, taking her time with the turquoise ribbon, doing her best to pretend that she wasn't that interested in what Aerobin had sent her. None of these presents came close to earning any sort of forgiveness. But she couldn't contain her squeal when she opened the box and found two gold hair combs glinting at her. They were exquisite, formed like sharp fish fins, each point accentuated with a sliver of sapphire. She nearly upset her breakfast tray as she rushed from the table by the window to the rosewood vanity. With deft hands, she dragged one of the combs through her hair, sweeping it back before she nimbly flipped it into place. She quickly repeated it on the other side of her head, and when she had finished, she beamed at her reflection, exotic, beguiling, imperious. Aerobin might be a bastard, and he might associate with Lysandra, but he had damn good taste. Oh, it was so nice to be back in civilization, with her beautiful clothes and shoes and jewels and cosmetics and all the luxuries she'd had to spend the summer without. Selena examined the ends of her hair and frowned. The frown deepened when her attention shifted to her hands, to her shredded cuticles and jagged nails. She let out a low hiss, facing the windows along one wall of her ornate bedroom. It was early autumn. That meant rain usually hung around Rifthold for a good couple of weeks. Through the low-hanging clouds and the slashing rain, she could see the rest of the capital city gleaming in the gray light. Pale stone houses stood tucked together, lined by broad avenues that stretched from the alabaster walls to the docks along the eastern quarter of the city. From the teeming city center to the jumble of crumbling buildings in the slums at the southern edge, where the Avery River curved inland. Even the emerald roofs on each building seemed cast in silver. The glass castle towered over them all, its upper turrets shrouded in mist. The convoy from Melisande couldn't have picked a worse time to visit. If they wanted to have street festivals, they'd find few participants willing to brave the merciless downpour. Selena slowly removed the combs from her hair. The convoy would arrive today, Aerobin had told her last night over a private dinner. She still hadn't given him an answer about whether she'd take down Donoval in 5 days, and he hadn't pushed her about it. He had been kind and gracious, serving her food himself, speaking softly to her like she was some frightened pet. She glanced again at her hair and nails, a very unkempt, wild-looking pet. She strode into her dressing room. She'd decide what to do about Donoval and his agenda later. For now, not even the rain would keep her from a little pampering. The shop she favored for her upkeep was ecstatic to see her, and utterly horrified at the state of her hair and nails. And her eyebrows. She couldn't have bothered to pluck her eyebrows while she was away. Half a day later, her hair cut and shining, her nails soft and gleaming, Selena braved the sodden city streets. Even with the rain, people found excuses to be out and about as the giant convoy from Melisande arrived. She paused beneath the awning of a flower shop where the owner was standing on the threshold to watch the grand procession. The Melisanders snaked along the broad avenue that stretched from the western gate of the city all the way to the castle doors. There were the usual jugglers and fire-eaters, whose jobs were made infinitely harder by the confounded rain, the dance girls whose billowing pants were sodden up to the knees, and then the line of very important, very wealthy people who were bundled under cloaks and didn't sit quite as tall as they'd probably imagined they would. Selena tucked her numbed fingers into her tunic pockets. Brightly painted covered wagons ambled past. Their hatches had all been shut against the weather. And that meant Selena would start back to the keep immediately. Melisande was known for its tinkerers, for clever hands that created clever little devices. Clockwork so fine you could swear it was alive. Musical instruments so clear and lovely they could shatter your heart. Toys so charming you'd believe magic hadn't vanished from the continent. If the wagons that contained those things were shut, then she had no interest in watching a parade of soaked, miserable people. Crowds were still flocking toward the main avenue, so Selena took to narrow, winding alleys to avoid them. She wondered if Sam was making his way to see the procession, and if Lysandra was with him. So much for Sam's unwavering loyalty. How long had it taken after she'd gone to the desert before he and Lysandra had become dear, dear friends? Things had been better when she relished the thought of gutting him. Apparently, Sam was just as susceptible to a pretty face as Aerobin was. She didn't know why she'd thought he would be different. She scowled and walked faster, her freezing arms crossed over her chest as she hunched her shoulders against the rain. 20 minutes later, she was dripping water all over the marble floor of the keep's entranceway. And 1 minute after that, she was dripping water all over Aerobin's study carpet as she told him that she would take on Donovan, his slave trade blackmail documents, and whoever his co-conspirator might be. The next morning, Selena looked down at herself, her mouth caught between a smile and a frown. The neck-to-toe black outfit was all made from the same dark fabric, as thick as leather, but without the sheen. It was like a suit of armor, only skin-tight, and made from some strange cloth, not metal. She could feel the weight of her weapons where they were concealed, so neatly that even someone patting her down might think they were merely ribbing. And she swung her arms experimentally. "Careful," the short man in front of her said, his eyes wide. "You might take off my head." Behind them, Aerobin chuckled from where he leaned against the paneled wall of the training room. She hadn't asked questions when he'd summoned her, then told her to put on the black suit and matching boots that were lined with fleece. "When you want to unsheathe the blades," the inventor said, taking a large step back, "it's a downward sweep and an extra flick of the wrist." He demonstrated the motion with his own scrawny arm, and Selena echoed it. She grinned as a narrow blade shot out of a concealed flap in her forearm. Permanently attached to the suit, it was like having a short sword welded to her arm. She made the same motion with the other wrist, and the twin blade appeared. Some internal mechanism had to be responsible for it. Some brilliant contraption of springs and gears. She gave a few deadly swings in the air in front of her, reveling in the whoosh, whoosh, whoosh of the swords. They were finely made, too. She raised her brows in admiration. "How do they go back?" "Ah, a little more difficult," the inventor said. "Wrist angled up and press this little button here. It should trigger the mechanism. There you go." She watched the blade slide back into the suit, then released and returned the blade several times. The deal with Donovan and his partner was in 4 days, just long enough for her to try using the new suit. 4 days was plenty to figure out his house's defenses and learn what time the meeting would take place, especially since she already knew that it was occurring in some private study. At last, she looked at Aerobin. "How much is it?" He pushed off the wall.
"It's a gift, as are the boots."
She knocked a toe against the tiled floor, feeling the jagged edges and grooves of the soles. Perfect for climbing. The sheepskin interior would keep her feet at body temperature, the inventor had said, even if she got them utterly soaked. She'd never even heard of a suit like this. It would completely change the way she conducted her missions. Not that she needed the suit to give her an edge, but she was Selena Sardothian, gods be damned, so didn't she deserve the very best equipment? With this suit, no one would question her place at Otterlin's assassin. Ever. And if they did, word help them. The inventor asked to take her final measurements, though the ones Aerobin had supplied were almost perfect. She lifted her arms out as he did the measuring, asking him bland questions about his trip from Melisande and what he planned to sell here. He was a master tinkerer, he said, and specialized in crafting things that were believed to be impossible, like a suit that was both armor and an armory, and lightweight enough to wear comfortably. Selena looked over her shoulder at Aerobin, who had watched her interrogation with a bemused smile. "Are you getting one made?"
"Of course. And Sam, too. Only the best for my best."
She noticed that he didn't say assassin, but whatever the Tinkerer thought about who they were, his face yielded no sign. She couldn't hide her surprise.
You never give Sam gifts.
Aerobin shrugged, picking at his nails.
Oh, Sam will be paying for the suit. I can't have my second best completely vulnerable, can I?
She hid her shock better this time. A suit like this had to cost a small fortune. Materials aside, just the hours it must have taken the Tinkerer to create it. Aerobin had to have commissioned them immediately after he'd sent her to the Red Desert. Perhaps he truly felt bad about what happened. But to force Sam to buy it? The clock chimed 11, and Aerobin let out a long breath.
I have a meeting.
He waved a ringed hand to the Tinkerer.
Give the bill to my manservant when you're done.
The Master Tinkerer nodded, still measuring Selena. Aerobin approached her, each step as graceful as a movement of a dance. He planted a kiss on the top of her head.
I'm glad to have you back,
he murmured onto her hair. With that, he strolled from the room, whistling to himself. The Tinkerer knelt to measure the length between her knee and boot tip, for whatever purpose that had. Selena cleared her throat, waiting until she was sure Aerobin was out of earshot.
If I were to give you a piece of spider silk, could you incorporate it into one of these uniforms?
It's small, so I just want it placed around the heart. She used her hands to show the size of the material that she'd been given by the merchant in the desert city of Xandria. Spider silk was a near-mythical material made by horse-sized Stygian spiders, so rare that you had to brave the spiders yourself to get it. And they didn't trade in gold.
No, they coveted things like dreams and memories and souls.
The merchant she'd met had traded 20 years of his youth for 100 yards of it. And after a long, strange conversation with him, he'd given her a few square inches of spider silk.
A reminder, he'd said, that everything has a price.
The Master Tinkerer's bushy brows rose.
I suppose. To the interior or the exterior? I think the interior, he went on, answering his own question. If I sewed it into the exterior, the iridescence might ruin the stealth of the black, but it'd turn any blade, and it's just barely the right size to shield the heart. Oh, what I'd give for 10 yards of spider silk! You'd be invincible, my dear.
She smiled slowly. As long as it guards the heart. She left the Tinkerer in the hall. Her suit would be ready the day after tomorrow. It didn't surprise her when she ran into Sam on her way out. She'd spotted the dummy that bore his own suit waiting for him in the training hall. Alone with her in the hallway, he examined her suit. She still had to change out of it and bring it back downstairs to the Tinkerer so he could make his final adjustments in whatever shop he'd set up while he was staying in Rifthold.
Fancy, Sam said.
She made to put her hands on her hips, but stopped. Until she mastered the suit, she had to watch how she moved, or else she might skewer someone.
Another gift?
Is there a problem if it is? She hadn't seen Sam at all yesterday, but then again, she'd also made herself pretty scarce. It wasn't that she was avoiding him. She just didn't particularly want to see him if it meant running into Lysandra, too. But it seemed strange that he wasn't on any mission. Most of the other assassins were away on various jobs, or so busy they were hardly at home. But Sam seemed to be hanging around the keep, or helping Lysandra and her madam. Sam crossed his arms. His white shirt was tight enough that she could see the muscles shifting beneath.
Not at all, though I'm a little surprised that you're accepting his gifts. How can you forgive him after what he did?
Forgive him? I'm not the one cavorting with Lysandra and attending lunches and doing whatever in hell it is you spent the summer doing. Sam let out a low growl.
You think I actually enjoy any of that?
You weren't the one sent off to the Red Desert.
Believe me, I would rather have been thousands of miles away.
I don't believe you. How can I believe anything you say? His brows furrowed.
What are you talking about?
Nothing. None of your business. I don't want to talk about this.
and I don't particularly want to talk to you, Sam Cortland.
Then go ahead,
he breathed.
Go crawl back to Aerobin's study and talk to him. Let him buy you presents and pet your hair and offer you the best-paying missions we get. It won't take him long to figure out the price of your forgiveness, not when...
She shoved him.
Don't you dare judge me! Don't you say one more word!
A muscle feathered in his jaw.
That's fine with me. You wouldn't listen anyway. Selena Sardothian and Aerobin Hommel. Just the two of you. Inseparable. Until the end of the world. The rest of us might as well be invisible.
That sounds an awful lot like jealousy. Especially considering you had 3 uninterrupted months with him this summer. What happened, You failed to convince him to make you his favorite? Found you lacking, did he?
Sam was in her face so quickly that she fought the urge to jump back.
You know nothing about what this summer was like for me. Nothing, Selena.
Good. I don't particularly care.
His eyes were so wide that she wondered if she'd struck him without realizing it. At last he stepped away, and she stormed past him. She halted when he spoke again.
You want to know what price I asked for forgiving Aerobin, Selena?
She slowly turned. With the ongoing rain, the hall was full of shadows and light. Sam stood so still that he might have been a statue.
My price was his oath that he'd never lay a hand on you again. I told him I'd forgive him in exchange for that.
She wished he'd punched her in the gut. It would have hurt less. Not trusting herself to keep from falling to her knees with shame right there, she just stalked down the hall.
She didn't want to speak to Sam ever again. How could she look him in the eye? He'd made Aerobin swear that for her.
She didn't know what words could convey the mixture of gratitude and guilt. Hating him had been so much easier, and it would have been far simpler if he'd blamed her for Aerobin's punishment. She had said such cruel things to him in the hallway. How could she ever begin to apologize?
Aerobin came to her room after lunch and told her to have a dress pressed.
Donoval, he'd heard, was going to be at the theater that night, and with 4 days until his exchange, it would be in her best interest to go. She'd formulated a plan for stalking Donoval, but she wasn't proud enough to refuse Aerobin's offer to use his box at the theater for spying. To see who Donoval spoke to, who sat near him, who guarded him. And to see a classical dance performed with a full orchestra? Well, she'd never turn that down. But Aerobin failed to say who would be joining them. She found out the hard way when she climbed into Aerobin's carriage and discovered Lysandra and Sam waiting inside. With 4 days until her bidding, the young courtesan needed all the exposure she could get, Aerobin calmly explained. And Sam was there to provide additional security. Selena dared a glance at Sam as she slumped onto the bench beside him. He watched her, his eyes wary, shoulders tensed, as if he expected her to launch a verbal attack right there. Like she'd mock him for what he'd done. Did he really think she was that cruel? Feeling a bit sick, she dropped Sam's stare. Lysandra just smiled at Selena from across the carriage and linked her elbow through Aerobin's.
Chapter 3 2 attendants greeted them at Aerobin's private box, taking their sodden cloaks and exchanging them for glasses of sparkling wine. Immediately, one of Aerobin's acquaintances popped in from the hall to say hello, and Aerobin, Sam, and Lysandra remained in the velvet-lined antechamber as they chatted. Selena, who had no interest in seeing Lysandra test out her flirting with Aerobin's friend, strode through the crimson curtain to take her usual seat closest to the stage. Aerobin's box was on the side of the cavernous hall, near enough to the center so that she had a mostly unobstructed view of the stage and the orchestra pit, but still angled enough to make her look longingly at the empty royal boxes. All of them occupied the coveted center position, and all of them were vacant. What a waste. She observed the floor seats and the other boxes, taking in the glittering jewels, the silk dresses,
the golden glow of sparkling wine and fluted glasses, the rumbling murmur of the mingling crowd. If there was one place where she felt the most at home, a place where she felt happiest, it was here, in this theater, with the red velvet cushions and the glass chandeliers, and the gilded dome ceiling high, high above them. Had it been coincidence or planning that had led to the theater being constructed in the very heart of the city, a mere 20-minute walk from the Assassin's Keep? She knew it would be hard for her to adjust to her new apartment, which was nearly double the distance from the theater. A sacrifice she was willing to make, if she ever found the right moment to tell Aerobin she was paying her debt and moving out. Which she would. Soon. She felt Aerobin's easy, self-assured gait strutting across the carpet, and straightened as he leaned over her shoulder.
"Donoval is straight ahead,"
Aerobin whispered, his breath hot on her skin.
"Third box in from the stage. Second row of seats."
She immediately found the man she'd been assigned to kill. He was tall and middle-aged, with pale blonde hair and tan skin. Not particularly handsome, but not an eyesore either. Not heavy, but not toned. Aside from his periwinkle tunic, which even from this distance looked expensive, there was nothing remarkable about him. There were a few others in the box. A tall, elegant woman in her late 20s stood near the partition curtain, a cluster of men around her. She held herself like a noble, though no diadem glittered in her lustrous dark hair.
"Leifer Bardengale,"
Aerobin murmured, following her gaze. Donoval's former wife, and the one who'd hired her.
"It was an arranged marriage. She wanted his wealth, and he wanted her youth. When they failed to have children, and some of his less desirable behavior was revealed, she managed to get out of the marriage, still young, but far richer."
It was smart of Bardengale, really. If she planned to have him assassinated, then pretending to be his friend would help keep fingers from pointing her way. Though Bardengale might have looked the part of a polite, elegant lady, Selena knew there had to be some ice-cold steel running through her veins, and an unyielding sense of dedication to her friends and allies, not to mention the common rights of every human being. It was hard not to immediately admire her.
"And the people around them?" Selena asked.
Through a small gap in the curtains behind Donoval, she could glimpse three towering men, all clad in dark gray, all looking like bodyguards.
"They're friends and investors. Bardengale and Donoval still have some joint businesses together. The three men in the back are his guards."
Selena nodded, and might have asked him some other questions had Sam and Lysandra not filed into the box behind them, bidding farewell to Aerobin's friend. They were three seats along the balcony rail, and three seats behind them. Lysandra, to Selena's dismay, sat next to her as Aerobin and Sam took the rear seats.
"Oh, look at how many people are here,"
Lysandra said. Her low-cut ice-blue dress did little to hide her cleavage as she craned her neck over the rail. Selena blocked out Lysandra's prattling as the courtesan began tossing out important names. Selena could sense Sam behind her, feel his gaze focused solely on the gold velvet curtains concealing the stage. She should say something to him. Apologize or thank him or just say something kind. She felt him tensing, as if he too wanted to say something. Somewhere in the theater, a gong began signaling the audience to take their seats. It was now or never. She didn't know why her heart thundered the way it did, but she didn't give herself a chance to second guess as she twisted to look at him. She glanced once at his clothes and then said, "You look handsome." His brows rose, and she swiftly turned back around in her seat, focusing hard on the curtain. He looked better than handsome, but, well, at least she'd said one nice thing. She'd tried to be nice. Somehow, it didn't make her feel that much better. Selena folded her hands in the lap of her blood-red gown. It wasn't cut nearly as low as Lysandra's, but with the slender sleeves and bare shoulders, she felt particularly exposed to Sam. She'd curled and swept her hair over one shoulder, certainly not to hide the scar on her neck. Donovan lounged in his seat, eyes on the stage. How could a man who looked so bored and useless be responsible for not just the fate of several lives, but of his entire country? How could he sit in this theater and not hang his head in shame for what he was about to do to his fellow countrymen, and to whatever slaves would be caught up in it? The men around Bardingale kissed her cheeks and departed for their own boxes. Donovan's three thugs watched the men very, very closely as they left. Not lazy board guards, then. Selena frowned. But then the chandeliers were hauled upward into the dome and dimmed, and the crowd quieted to hear the opening notes as the orchestra began playing. In the dark, it was nearly impossible to see Donovan. Sam's hand brushed her shoulder, and she almost jumped out of her skin as he brought his mouth close to her ear and murmured,
"You look beautiful, though I bet you already know that." She most certainly did.
She gave him a sidelong glare and found him grinning as he leaned back into his seat. Suppressing her urge to smile, Selena turned toward the stage as the music established the setting for them, a world of shadows and mist. A world where creatures and myths dwelled in the dark moments before dawn. Selena went still as the gold curtain drew back, and everything she knew and everything she was faded away to nothing. The music annihilated her. The dancing was breathtaking, yes, and the story it told was certainly lovely. A legend of a prince seeking to rescue his bride, and the cunning bird he captured to help him to do it. But the music. Had there ever been anything more beautiful? More exquisitely painful? She clenched the arms of the seat, her fingers digging into the velvet as the music hurtled toward its finale, sweeping her away in a flood. With each beat of the drum, each trill of the flute and blare of the horn, she felt all of it along her skin, along her bones. The music broke her apart and put her back together, only to render her asunder again and again. And then the climax, the compilation of all the sounds she had loved best, amplified until they echoed into eternity. As the final note swelled, a gasp broke from her, setting the tears in her eyes spilling down her face. She didn't care who saw. Then, silence. The silence was the worst thing she'd ever heard. The silence brought back everything around her. Applause erupted, and she was on her feet, crying still as she clapped until her hands ached.
Selena, I didn't know you had a shred of human emotion in you, Lysander leaned in to whisper. And I didn't think the performance was that good.
Sam gripped the back of Lysandra's chair.
Shut up, Lysandra.
Aerobin clicked his tongue in warning, but Selena remained clapping, even as Sam's defense sent a faint trickle of pleasure through her. The ovation continued for a while, with the dancers emerging from the curtain again and again to bow and be showered with flowers. Selena clapped through it all, even as her tears dried, even as the crowd began shuffling out. When she remembered to glance at Donovan, his box was empty. Aerobin, Sam, and Lysandra left their box, too, long before she was ready to end her applause. But after she finished clapping, Selena remained, staring toward the curtained stage, watching the orchestra begin to pack up their instruments. She was the last person to leave the theater. There was another party at the keep that night, a party for Lysandra and her madam, and whatever artists and philosophers and writers Aerobin favored at that moment. Mercifully, it was confined to one of the drawing rooms, but laughter and music still filled the entirety of the second floor. On the carriage ride home, Aerobin had asked Selena to join them. But the last thing she wanted to see was Lysandra being fawned over by Aerobin, Sam, and everyone else. So she told him that she was tired and needed to sleep. She wasn't tired in the least, though. Emotionally drained, perhaps, but it was only 10:30, and the thought of taking off her gown and climbing into bed made her feel rather pathetic. She was Otterlin's assassin. She'd freed slaves and stolen Asterian horses and won the respect of the mute master. Surely she could do something better than go to bed early. So she slipped into one of the music rooms, where it was quiet enough that she could only hear a burst of laughter every now and then. The other assassins were either at the party or off on some mission or other. Her rustling dress was the only sound, as she folded back the cover of the pianoforte. She'd learned to play when she was 10, under Aerobin's orders that she find at least one refined skill other than ending lives, and had fallen in love immediately. Though she no longer took lessons, she played whenever she could spare a few minutes. The music from the theater still echoed in her mind. Again and again, the same cluster of notes and harmonies. She could feel them humming under the surface of her skin, beating in time with her heart. What she wouldn't give to hear the music once more. She played a few notes with one hand, frowned, adjusted her fingers, and tried again, clinging to the music in her mind. Slowly, the familiar melody began to sound right. But it was only a few notes, and it was the pianoforte, not an orchestra. She pounded the keys harder, working out the riffs. It was almost there, but not quite right. She couldn't remember the notes as perfectly as they sounded in her head. She didn't feel them the way she'd felt them only an hour ago. She tried again for a few minutes, but eventually slammed the lid shut and stalked from the room. She found Sam lounging against a wall in the hallway. Had he been listening to her fumble with the pianoforte this whole time?
Close, but not quite the same, is it?
He said. She gave him a withering look and started toward her bedroom, even though she had no desire to spend the rest of the night sitting in there by herself.
It must drive you mad, not being able to get it exactly the way you remember it.
He kept pace beside her. His midnight blue tunic brought out the golden hues in his skin. I was just fooling around, she said. I can't be the best at everything, you know. It wouldn't be fair to the rest, would it? Down the hall, someone had started a merry tune on the instruments in the gaming room. Sam chewed on his lip.
Why didn't you trail Donoval after the theater? Don't you have only 4 days left?
She wasn't surprised, he knew. Her missions weren't usually that secret. She paused, still itching to hear the music once more. Some things are more important than death. Sam's eyes flickered.
I know.
She tried not to squirm as he refused to drop her stare. Why are you helping Lysandra? She didn't know why she asked it. Sam frowned.
She's not all that bad, you know. When she's away from other people, she's better. Don't bite my head off for saying it. But even though you taunt her about it, she didn't choose this path for herself. Like us.
He shook his head.
She just wants your attention and acknowledgement of her existence.
She clenched her jaw. Of course he'd spent plenty of time alone with Lysandra. And of course he'd find her sympathetic. I don't particularly care what she wants. You still haven't answered my question. Why are you helping her? He shrugged.
Because Aerobin told me to.
And since I have no desire to have my face beaten to a pulp again, I'm not going to question him.
He hurt you that badly, too? Sam let out a low laugh, but didn't reply until after a servant bustled past, carrying a tray full of wine bottles. They were probably better off talking in a room where they'd be less likely to be overheard, but the idea of being utterly alone with him made her pulse pound.
I was unconscious for a day and dozed on and off for 3 more after that,
Sam said. Selena hissed a violent curse.
He sent you to the Red Desert,
Sam went on, his words soft and low.
But my punishment was having to watch him beat you that night.
Why? Another question she didn't mean to ask. He closed the distance between them, standing near enough now that she could see the fine gold thread detailing on his tunic.
After what we went through in Skull's Bay, you should know the answer.
She didn't want to know the answer. Now that she thought about it. Are you going to make a bid for Lysandra?
Sam burst out laughing. Bid? Selena, I don't have any money. And the money I do have is going toward paying back Aerobin. Even if I wanted to—
Do you want to? He gave her a lazy grin.
Why do you want to know?
Because I'm curious whether Aerobin's beating damaged your brain, that's why.
Afraid she and I had a summer romance?
That insufferable grin was still there. She could have raked her nails down his face. Instead, she picked another weapon. I hope you did. I certainly enjoyed myself this summer.
The smile faded at that. What do you mean?
She brushed an invisible fleck of dust off her red gown. Let's just say that the son of the mute master was far more welcoming than the other silent assassins. It wasn't quite a lie. Ilias had tried to kiss her, and she had basked in his attention, but she hadn't wanted to start anything between them.
Sam's face paled. Her words had struck home,
but it wasn't as satisfying as she thought it would be.
Instead, the mere fact that it had affected him made her feel...
Oh, why had she even said anything about Ilias?
Well, she knew precisely why.
Sam began to turn away, but she grabbed his arm. Help me with Donoval, she blurted.
Not that she needed it, but this was the best she could offer him in exchange for what he'd done for her.
I'll give you half of the money.
He snorted. Keep your money. I don't need it. Ruining yet another slave trade agreement will be enough for me.
He studied her for a moment, his mouth quirking to the side.
You're sure you want my help?
Yes, she said. It came out a bit strangled. He searched her eyes for any sign of mockery. She hated herself for making him distrust her that much. But he nodded at last.
Then we'll start tomorrow. We'll scope out his house. Unless you've already done that.
She shook her head.
I'll come by your room after breakfast.
She nodded. There was more she wanted to say to him, and she didn't want him to go. But her throat had closed up, too full of all those unspoken words. She made to turn away.
Selena?
She looked back at him, her red gown sweeping around her. His eyes shone as he flashed her a crooked grin.
I missed you this summer.
She met his stare unflinchingly, returning the smile as she said, I hate to admit it, Sam Cortland, but I missed your sorry ass too. He merely chuckled before he strode toward the party, his hands in his pockets. Chapter 4. Crouched in the shadows of a gargoyle the following afternoon, Selena shifted her numb legs and groaned softly. She usually opted to wear a mask, but with the rain it would have limited her vision even further. Going without, though, made her feel somewhat exposed. The rain also made the stone slick, and she took extra care while adjusting her position. 6 hours. 6 hours spent on this rooftop, staring across the street at the two-story house Donoval had rented for the duration of his stay. It was just off the most fashionable avenue in the city, and was enormous, as far as city homes went. Made of solid white stone and capped with green clay shingles, it looked just like any other wealthy home in the city, right down to its intricately carved windowsills and doorways. The front lawn was manicured, and even in the rain, servants bustled around the property, bringing in food, flowers, and other supplies. That was the first thing she noticed, that people came and went all day, and there were guards everywhere. They looked closely at the faces of the servants who entered, scaring the daylights out of some of them. There was a whisper of boots against the ledge, and Sam nimbly slipped into the shadows of the gargoyle, returning from scouting the other side of the house. A guard on every corner, Selena murmured, as Sam settled down beside her. Three at the front door, two at the gate. How many did you spot in the back?
One on either side of the house, three more by the stables. And they don't look like cheap hands for hire, either. Will we take them out or slip past them?
I prefer not to kill them, she admitted. But we'll see if we can slip past when the time comes. Seems like they're rotating every 2 hours. The off-duty guards go into the house.
Donoval's still away?
She nodded, inching nearer to him. Of course, it was just to absorb his warmth against the freezing rain. She tried not to notice when he pressed closer to her, too. He hasn't returned. Donoval had left nearly an hour ago, closely flanked by a hulking brute of a man who looked hewn from granite. The bodyguard inspected the carriage, examined the coachman and the footman, held the door until Donoval was ensconced inside, and then slipped in himself. It seemed like Donovan knew very well just how coveted and delicate his list of slave sympathizers was. She'd seldom seen this kind of security. They'd already surveyed the house and grounds, noting everything from the stones of the building to what sort of latches sealed the windows, to the distance between the nearby rooftops and the roof of the house itself. Even with the rain, she could see well enough into the second-story window to make out a long hallway. Some servants came out of rooms, bearing sheets and blankets. Bedrooms, then. Four of them. There was a supply closet near the stairwell at the center of the hall. From the light that spilled into the hallway, she knew that the main stairwell had to be open and grand, just like the one in the Assassin's Keep. Not a chance of hiding, unless they found the servants' passages. They got lucky, though, when she spied a servant going into one of the second-floor rooms, carrying a pile of the afternoon papers. A few minutes later, a maid lugged in a bucket and tools for sweeping out a fireplace, and then a manservant brought in what looked like a bottle of wine. She hadn't seen anyone changing the linens in that room, and so they took special notice of the servants who entered and exited. It had to be the private study that Arabin had mentioned. Donoval probably maintained a formal study on the first floor, but if he were doing dark dealings, then moving his real business to a more hidden quarter of the house would make sense. But they still needed to figure out what time the meeting would take place. Right now, it could be at any point on the arranged day.
"There he is," Sam hissed.
Donoval's carriage pulled up, and the hulking bodyguard got out, scouring the street for a moment before he motioned for the businessman to emerge. Selena had a feeling that Donoval's rush to get into the house wasn't just about the downpour. They ducked back into the shadows again.
"Where do you suppose he went?" Sam asked.
She shrugged. His former wife's Harvest Moon party was tonight. Perhaps that had something to do with it, or the street festival that Melisande was hosting in the center of the city today. She and Sam were now crouching so close together that a toasty warmth was spreading up one side of her. Nowhere good, I'm sure. Sam let out a breathy laugh, his eyes still on the house. They were silent for a few minutes. At last, he said,
"So, the Mute Master's son."
She almost groaned.
"How close were you, exactly?"
He focused on the house, though she noticed that he'd fisted his hands.
"Just tell him the truth, idiot."
Nothing happened with Ilias. It was only a bit of flirtation, but... "Nothing happened," she said again.
"Well?"
he said after a moment.
"Nothing happened with Lysandra, and nothing is going to. Ever."
"And why exactly do you think I care?"
It was her turn to keep her eyes fixed on the house. He nudged her with his shoulder.
"Since we're friends now, I assumed you'd want to know."
She was grateful that her hood concealed most of her burning hot face. "I think I preferred it when you wanted to kill me."
"Sometimes I think so, too. Certainly made my life more interesting. I wonder, though, if I'm helping you, does it mean I get to be your second when you run the Assassin's Guild? Or does it just mean that I can boast that the famed Selena Sardothian finally finds me worthy?"
She jabbed him with an elbow.
"It means you should shut up and pay attention."
They grinned at each other, and then waited. Around sunset, which felt especially early that day given the heavy cloud cover, the bodyguard emerged. Donoval was nowhere in sight, and the bodyguard motioned to the guards, speaking quietly to them before he strode down the street.
"Off on an errand?"
Selena pondered. Sam inclined his head after the bodyguard, a suggestion that they follow.
"Good idea."
Selena's stiff limbs ached in protest as she slowly, carefully, inched away from the gargoyle. She kept her eyes on the nearby guards, not once looking away as she grabbed the roof ledge and hauled herself up it, Sam following suit. She wished she had the boots the Master Tinkerer was adjusting for her, but they wouldn't arrive until tomorrow. Her black leather boots, while supple and supportive, felt a bit traitorous on the rain-slick gutter of the roof. Still, She and Sam kept low and fast as they dashed along the roof edge, tracking the hulking man in the street below. Luckily, he turned down a back alley, and the next house was close enough that she could nimbly leap onto the adjacent roof. Her boots slid,